Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs, and want to wish all of the fathers out there a happy Father's Day, and I pray that you are doing your best to represent the Father well. I'll just say that again. Do your best to represent the Father, your Heavenly Father, well. All of those efforts will pay spiritual dividends in your life, your family's life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life. I cannot encourage you strong enough. Do not fall for the deception of the enemy and just go off and live your life like the world tries to get you to live it. Instead, go to the Word of God, look to your Heavenly Father, and follow His example. Live it. Don't just speak it. Live it. Live it. Okay, so much for Father's Day directives there. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, primarily concrete work, they are very, very good at what they do. So I was away with my wife earlier this month. We took a little bit of a vacation to celebrate our anniversary, and we were flipping through the channels and came across the news station. I don't watch the news at home, but this particular article caught my attention because of Jits Concrete. And what it said was, not only is there a baby food shortage, and I think they're working on that, but in the Atlanta area, there is also a concrete shortage. They've got projects that are weeks behind schedule simply because there is not enough concrete. And it wasn't just impacting, you know, people like Jits Concrete in that area, but it was impacting pool installers. They even threw an advertisement up there for, you know, tile setters and things like that, that were all being impacted because of a shortage. So my encouragement is, if you've got a project, don't just assume the materials are going to be there. Don't just assume you're going to know how to do it, but give the folks at Jits Concrete a call and have them come out, take a look at your job, and they can tell you what the supply chain looks like at that point in time. Schedule a time, get your job done, and you can move forward and not be held up because of other challenges going on through the supply chain. So 321-536-5804. Only call them if you want your project done right, with people with a great work ethic, a great deal of experience and expertise in doing exactly what needs to be done. You want it done right the first time. The last thing that I would want to be doing right now out in the summertime of Florida is out there jackhammering up concrete that I didn't put down right. So you wanted to get it done right the first time, give them a call, 321-536-5804. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Let's look at verse number 24. And it says, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kingdom of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For he who is greater For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So we're gonna touch on this today before we get off into the weekend here. If you go over to John chapter 13, you will see that the disciples were arguing about which one of them was going to be the greatest. So there's a lot that Jesus was doing at this Passover celebration that the disciples did not understand. And so there were questions about which one was going to betray him. You don't want to be that person. We had a guest speaker for our 70th anniversary service, and I had heard him talk before about a person who came to him when he started pastoring and said, "Pastor, don't worry, I got your back." And the pastor's response was, "You know, I don't want you anywhere near my back until I know that I've got your heart." That's a person who knows what betrayal looks like and feels like. But not only was there the confusion about who was going to betray him, they didn't fully understand that they were all going to abandon him, and they didn't understand, even after all this time, the concept of service. At Southeastern University, where my daughters went to college, there's a bronze statue, and it's called the servant leader, and it shows Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I think that's the name of the statue. But it shows that the paradigm of ministry in the church is different than the paradigm of service that the world has to offer. The world tells you you've got to rise up. And Jesus says, "I want to show you what it's like to operate when you kneel down." So there, we've got to make sure that we do not allow the world's paradigm to shift into what it's like in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to increase in influence or anything like that. I'm saying that the heart, the motive, the style of serving others is different for believers than it is for those who do not know Jesus. So Jesus gave them in John chapter 13, he gave them a display because he knelt down and washed their feet. And recently my wife and I were talking about that, you know, because I'd brought it up in one of my messages. And, you know, we don't wear a lot of sandals anymore. I mean, we do around here, but we also have paved streets. We don't have animals kicking up dust and things like that. They would come into the house and their table was not chairs. They would kneel down on an elbow, and the table was very low, and then your feet would be sticking out away from the table. And my wife reminded me, she said, that was more than just getting the dust off of your feet, because of the animals that were traveling up and down the roads. There were worse things than dust that was on those people's feet. And I said, "You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right." And so this ministry of washing people's feet, it was a necessity in that day and time. I know that a lot of people want to bring that as an ordinance into the church, and hey, we should practice washing one another's feet. And I used to sell shoes, so I've had some people that I wanted to wash their feet before I sold them shoes, because when you can smell their feet and their shoes are still on, that's pretty intense. So, but here Jesus was providing an essential ministry to them. And then after he washes their feet, he says to them here, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Now, when you see lordship, here it's a small L. In the world, lordship says, okay, you all are going to work really hard, and you're going to make it possible for me to enjoy all of the benefits of your labor. That's what lordship from the world looks like, is you all do all of the work, and I experience the greatest blessing. And that's not what kingdom ministry is all about. I remember hearing a person say in a radio interview several years ago that the higher you go up in influence, the lower you've got to go in humility. You've got to make sure that you stay humble. Now, I really wish that he had listened to what he had said, because he did not. But it doesn't disregard the principle. The principle is still very much true. We need to be humble. We need to be humble enough and yet secure enough in who we are, what God has called us to do, and what God is preparing for us in the future, to say, you know what? I'm not looking for other people to do whatever I command them to do, but I'm looking for ways that I can serve them so I can set them up for success. So one of my primary objectives whenever there is a work day or anything like that going on at the church is I want to set people up to succeed. And so before they ever begin doing their project, I've already been at work making sure that I got supplies and got all of the tools that are necessary in place, so that whenever it is done, they're not having to waste their precious time. I want to set people up to succeed. If they're serving God, I want to make it as possible for them to be as fruitful and as effective as possible. But the kings, the rulers in Gentile communities, they exercise lordship. They mandate obedience and submission. You've got to do what I tell you to do. And Jesus said that's not the way the kingdom of God operates. So take a look at your life and do some assessing at some point in time. And ask yourself, am I in line with the world's paradigm, or am I in line with the kingdom of God's paradigm? I recently did this. I was reviewing a season of my life from several decades ago, and I said, you know, I think I approached that scenario from the wrong mindset. I said, I think if I had the opportunity to go back and do it again, I think what I would do is exactly the opposite of what I did then. If you want to know the specifics, when I was growing up, I came from a large church. It started off very small. It grew very large. When I got to college, I was already through my sophomore year when I transferred out of town, started living on campus, and started looking for a church, and started looking for churches that had college-age kids, and started looking for churches that were large and, you know, kind of dynamic and had a relationship. And I know that I visited one church, and it was very, very tiny, and like less than 10 people in the church. And I just discounted that one right away. And I think that if I had it to do all over again, I think I would have gone to that church. Because I have a little bit more experience with what it looks like when the pastor is carrying a large load. I understand now that there are a larger percentages of churches that are very small than there are that are very large. So I had a friend one time, he asked another pastor, he said, look, we need some help with our worship team. Do you have any musicians? He said, no, I don't have any. Don't have any. They had tons and tons of musicians, but they had tons and tons of musicians who wanted to be part of the worship team at that particular church, not a worship team at a much smaller church. Wasn't me. Just want to throw that out there. But I've got a friend. He's also a missionary. And last year when my worship leader got very, very sick, almost died, he said, you know, I know somebody who serves at a very large church, but they're not there because it's a large church. They're there because they have a particular type of ministry. But I know them. They would be willing to come and lead your worship for 3 weeks. And they did. And they did, and they did a great job. Because it's not about the what the world deems success. What the world deems success oftentimes is an illusion. So I just want to encourage you. There is nothing wrong with delegating. There is nothing wrong with having accountability. But never forget that whatever position you are in, whether it is the top rung on the ladder or the bottom rung on the ladder, your position has been entrusted to you by God to serve Him for His glory and also to empower others to be successful. So it says, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. In other words, there's a benefit that they experience from exercising authority. So they exercise lordship and they exercise authority over them. But Jesus says in verse number 26, but not so among you, on the contrary. So it's not to be that way in the kingdom. In fact, it is to be the opposite. Let him who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. So if, you know, we're in election year, midterm elections, meaning it's not a presidential election year, and people who function in the government, they are classified as civil servants. But I want to ask you this question. When was the last time that you dealt with a government agency, be it a local municipality or somebody on the state level or the federal level, and they treated you like they were serving you? Okay? Because I can tell you that in my decades of living, that the people who have had a civil serving mindset have been the rare exception. Most of the time, people have operated from this mindset. You are in my jurisdiction. I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it, and you're going to be happy about it. And Jesus said, That's not my heart. I had a friend that had an encounter with a government official, and he asked him, he said, could you show me where the regulation is that you are talking about? And the civil servant said, I am the regulation. So that didn't go over well, I'll have you know. But in the kingdom of God, it should be a kingdom that is noticeably contrary to the way that the world does things, and that is that we are people who serve. So it doesn't matter if you are brand new to the kingdom or if you have been in the kingdom of God for a long, long time, there has to be a heart of a servant. Don't ever lose the heart. So the heart of the enemy is accusation. The heart of God is that, you know, we are people who serve. And we don't say, look, I'm older than you, and you're younger than I am, so you've got to do what I tell you. Now, I'm going to tell you a really embarrassing story, okay? True, absolutely, the mindset that I had, I don't know why it wasn't true. I was a little bitty runt of a kid. And I had a couple of friends. One of them was about the same size. He was a little bit more athletic as far as his build goes. And another one, he was much larger than the rest of us, but he was younger. He ended up being the captain of the wrestling team in high school. He wasn't interested in football, but, you know, he was quite tough. But I found out he was younger than I was, and I said, well, I must be stronger than, I must be tougher than you, and because I'm older and you're younger. Now, it was a matter of months. It wasn't a tremendous amount of time. He was taller, more muscular, and scrappier than I was. And so over the next few minutes, he demonstrated to me that just because you're older doesn't mean that you're superior. True story. I pray that if you've been in the kingdom of God for a long time, that you have a father's heart that says, look, I'm not here for y'all to benefit me. I'm here to invest in you. So when I was growing up, there was no such thing as a television remote. We never had cable television while I was growing up. We just had standard over-the-air channels. And back in those days, if my dad wanted the television changed to whatever it is he wanted to watch, he said, Bob, go get up and go turn it over to this channel. And I would do that. He was the father. It was his house, his television. By the time I had kids, my wife would say, oh, honey, let the kids watch whatever they want. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened to the fact that it was my television? I got to watch it. I missed something there. But I can tell you this, the longer that I've grown in my relationship with God, the more I understand that children are not free labor for parents, although I've trained my children to work hard in the ministry, and they all have. They all have a great work ethic. They have a heart for God. And they all, you know, are doing well in their family, their finances. They're all more gifted than I am. But they weren't there just as a free labor pool for me. They were there so I could train them up in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they would not depart from it. And so I want to have that mindset that whether it's my biological children or spiritual children or brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it is, that I'm serving them so that that they are set up to succeed. Jesus said, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So my mindset has always been to, whenever I come into a new setting, to take the least conspicuous spot. I just kind of want to blend into the background. So we were at a church one time, and we were staying for our first fellowship dinner. I don't know if it was a anniversary, a birthday, whatever it was. They were having a something after church, and we decided to stay. And I got halfway back, and all of a sudden I felt like, you know, prompted in the spirit to say, okay, stop right here. And so we did. We stopped halfway back, and sat down at the table, not realizing until a few minutes later that where I was headed to think that I was out of the way was actually going to be the head table. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for stopping me. Jesus said, please don't ever forget that I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm the one who's greater. You are the one who needs a Savior, and I have come to accomplish that. But I've also come to serve. And so he says, I am not only one who serves, I am one who serves. I am among you as the one who serves. So I pray that what you do, you will do for the glory of God. I pray that you will not do it for pats on the back or self exaltation, but you will do it as an example, just the same way that Jesus did. So let me close this out, invite you out to Father's Day this Sunday morning at 10:30, where we're going to be honoring our men and specifically our fathers. There's a huge plague of fatherlessness in society, and there is an even greater plague of spiritual fatherlessness. And so we need to step up and to minister to the young people and say, look, we are here. We are here. We want to spare you some of the pain that the world has to offer. We want to spare you some of that misery. And so, guys, I want to just close out by saying one more time again, live out the gospel. Live as a servant. Show your children what it is like to live for the glory of God. I've got a person that I know, and they said, the reason I'm a Christian today and in the ministry today is because they saw someone who not only preached the gospel, they saw people who lived it. I know there are a lot of people who can talk the talk, but do they walk the walk? And guys, I'm asking you today to consider 2022 to be a breakthrough year for you, where you step up and say, you know what? I may not have lived up to it in the past, but I'm going to do my best to live for the glory of God and serve Him, serve my family, serve the church, and serve the community. And I tell you what, when you do that, you will be what Merit Assembly of God is all about. You will be a blessing. We will see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.